May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, dear friends, it's been a great day, and I know you've had a lot of input already, so I intend to be merciful in that regard, because I know there's limits as to how much we can take in. I did want to say that the gospel reading, which has just been read, if you're a real keener, as I know many of you are, you will remember that that was the key passage which framed our thinking for our last synod. And in fact, we titled last synod is, we are seeking to be a Bible people, a gospel people, and a global people. And Keith Ganser did the Bible teaching based primarily on Luke 24 for last synod. If you're a keener again, you'll know that this synod, the title is Thoroughly Equipped for Every Good Work, which is a phrase which comes from 2 Corinthians 3:17 in the NIV. The thoroughly equipped for every good work, is that's the way it's expressed in the NIV. I want to say that I think this day and these few moments, but the whole culmination of this day, is our desire to encourage you and bless you and thank you for the ministry which you are offering. And by our fellowship and our teaching and by our worship together, to have weary arms like a corporate Moses, Aaron, and Hur lifting up the staff all together over our lives and over the battlefield, which is our ministries and our lives, so that in due course, after the wonderful days of our workshops and synod, we will leave with a sense of refreshment and strengthening in our ministries. What I want to do for just a few minutes, the theme for this synod comes from 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17. I wanted to tell you, as I will say in my charge, ever since the beginning of August, I have been kind of living in 2 Timothy. And if you have been around me at all in any capacity over the last few months, and in fact I intend for the next several months, maybe even more than that, to continue to live in this great portion of Scripture. Now, it's no secret that 2 Timothy is the final piece of in canon Scripture that we have from the Apostle Paul. We know from 2 Timothy 4:6-8 that he is well aware that he's about to be martyred. That is, it's more than that, as he reflects on virtually across the span of the ministry and the places, it's a pretty dismal picture. He describes in verse 15, for instance, that all of Asia has left me. And on it goes. And to Timothy, who has been charged with the task of dealing with Ephesus, it's equally dismal. And so now Paul is inviting Timothy to come as soon as possible. He's now in a dark, dank prison. He described himself as bound in chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound, he says. I don't know if this is encouraging you or not. Is this getting you sort of... when you hear my text, you might even be more worried. My text is this: share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You might think that, in fact, clergy care, the job of clergy care would be to insulate your lives from anything that would make it difficult or not nice in some way, invade your life with afflictions of any sort. That, in fact, the protection of that is what this is to be all about. But it's evident that as we read this portion of Scripture, not only is Paul suffering, but that he's encouraging and exhorting Timothy to join him in suffering. And so it raises the question as to our understanding of what this thing suffering is, and a distortion of our understanding. What is clear as you make your way through 2 Timothy is that he sees suffering as absolutely central to being a disciple of Christ. That it's not just the mean things people will do to us, but in fact it's what it is in part to be a disciple of Christ. Now this is of importance because when we do suffer, rather than us thinking that this is an aberration or some sort of mistake, that therefore I must be off God's will, we can understand that it's something quite different. I'm going to read some excerpts about suffering and the exhortation that Paul gives. He says in 2 Timothy 1:8, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which has now been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." Again, 2:3, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. 2:9 and 10, he says this, "For which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And again, 3:12, he said, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." And again, in chapter 4, verse 5, in the summary of his charge, which he says, "Preach the gospel in season and out of season," he says this, "As for you," he's saying to Timothy, and this "as for you," "you therefore," is a very common phrase. And what he's trying to do, I believe, is nail us right between the eyes and say, "This is for you, friend. You in your ministry. This is for you. As for you," he's saying to Timothy, "always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." We're not masochists. I'm not asking you to do something whereby, like the prophets of Baal, you gouge yourself in order to have some sort of suffering. But it is a statement of the fact that in our walk, in our life, in our ministry, we can expect and should not be surprised that suffering will be part of our portion. How can you talk, for instance, about take up your cross daily and not have an understanding that suffering is central to what it is to be in Christ? In that context, therefore, Paul wants Timothy to understand that this is not just an arbitrary tough it out, whatever. It is a statement, dear friends, that the reason he can exhort Timothy to suffer is because he's saying, dear friends, the gospel is worthy of your life. The nature of the gospel is something that's worthy even of suffering for. So it is that when he talks about, for instance, the very first verse of 2 Timothy 1, he talks about his own apostleship by the will of God according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. You can't talk about the gospel, you can't talk about Jesus without understanding that it's about the promise of life. He talks about in verse 8 about not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Why is that? Because the crucified one, he says, destroyed death, abolished death, and brought life and immortality to light in the gospel. This is amazing stuff. It's the one, and we can know this because we know whom we have believed. And we're convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to us, to me. The confidence that God's gospel is there and is solid. But more than that, this verse, which is the most motivating for me, he says, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul's making it clear that in fact, the reason for our existence, the reason for our ministry, dear friends, is that people may obtain, the elect may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. And when you think about this sense of continuity, he talks about it from beginning to end, making it clear that before the ages began, he already gave us this grace and this calling in Christ Jesus. That it was because he knew a people who were to be with him forever. And the way they are to receive salvation is through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, this is a high and wonderful calling. When there's the call to suffering, it is because the kind of scope and suffering which a soldier doesn't get entangled in civilian pursuits, 2 Timothy 2:4, because he only wants to please the one who's enlisted him, the Lord Jesus. The athlete wins the crown only when he operates and competes according to the rules. And so we bind ourselves by the things of God as they're found in the Word of God. And more than that, the hard-working farmer is the one who ought to have the first share of the crop. So the scope of suffering is actually, in part, the commitment to live a gospel life for the sake of those who are to receive the gospel. Second thing that is of great excitement, and I hope will be of encouragement to you, is that Paul's clear statement in 2 Timothy that the Word of God is effective. That it's the only thing that's effective to bring the wisdom that leads to salvation. It's the only thing that will bring the ability to grow in maturity in Christ. It's the only thing that will equip people in ministry, whatever the nature of their ministry is. And that's what 2 Corinthians 3:14-17. But before that, in the midst of the discussion about a church which is wrangling about words, he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Dear friends, in the Bible, you have everything you need to do and be what you're called to be and to serve the Lord. This is a huge blessing and motivation. And thirdly, it's not only that the gospel is worthy of your life and that the Word of God is effective in every way and the only thing that's effective, but thirdly, it's the power of God by the grace of God through the Holy Spirit, which is the only means that this will happen. You then, my child, Paul says in chapter 2, verse 1, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. It's very clear as you make your way through 2 Timothy that in fact he's talking about suffering for the gospel by the power of God. That he's not just kicking Timothy out there and saying, see how you do. But in fact there's the assurance that the power of God, through the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit. So he says, for instance, in verse 13 and 14 of 2 Timothy 1, follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. The nature of the calling of God on our lives, every Christian, but that's us included as clergy, is absolutely impossible. But the power of God, by the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit, is there for us. And so he exhorts, for instance, Timothy at the beginning, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Dear friends, we are a very blessed people. We're blessed because we have a gospel that's worthy of our own lives, but it's worthy of holding before and not being ashamed of it, but of holding it up as the only means through which people can know salvation. There's only one name, the name of Jesus. But secondly, we have in the Word of God something which is, and the whole force of 2 Timothy is, yes, it's God-breathed, and that's why it's able, but it's effective. That's the force of the teaching. It's effective. Teaching, reproving, correcting, training, equipping. But hallelujah, we have been given the Spirit of God, and therefore the power of God, through the grace of God, to do this great work. Would you stand with me? Lord Jesus, in a service in which we will soon be expressing our recommitment of our vows that were made in our ordination, we thank you for the testimony of Paul, literally on the final days of his life, who had every reason to be distressed, but instead of that spoke of the victory of the cross of Christ. We thank you in the gospel. We hear of the appearing of Christ our Savior, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light in the gospel. We thank you that it's worthy of our best, it's worthy of our lives, it's worthy of even suffering and even death. We thank you for the Word of God. What an incredible gift. Seed to the sower and bread to the eater. We bless you because we're hungry and thirsty. Listen, listen to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. We bless you and thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who works out all of this in fulfillment of the will of the Father by the action of the saving actions of the Son of God. Bless you, Lord Jesus, we thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.